The political power struggles of our time include some factions we thought we didn't hear much from anymore, white supremacists, for example, but people with racist views are bolder in their pronouncements these days and are increasingly taking their messages to college campuses. Those are the findings of the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, which put out a report last month showing the rise in white supremacist recruiting in higher education. Seth Breisk is the Central Pacific Regional Director for the Anti-Defamation League. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Should point out the Central Pacific region includes Northern California, Utah, and Hawaii. I assume then Oregon is in a different one?
Yes, that's correct. We have a regional office based in Seattle that serves the state of Oregon.
So the figures came out nationally, though. We're not talking just a regional by regional thing, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So has ADL tracked this particular category, white supremacist recruiting, for a while now?
We have, although it's really something that we took a closer look at, given the current political climate and the increase in activity among white supremacists.
Okay, was there a general trend, you know, flat up down that seemed to hold for a good long time? I mean, over the period that you were looking at.
Well, what's happened is we've seen this increase. We've received increasing numbers of complaints. You know, we receive complaints that are registered to us through an online portal about anti-Semitic incidents and also other acts of discrimination. And what we began to see was this trend of increased white supremacist propagandizing in communities, but also in particular targeting college campuses. And so that's when we started to take a closer look. So what we found was actually last year in the 2016-17 academic year, there was, in a 2017-18 academic year, there had been a 77% increase over the prior year. So we really saw that what we thought was anecdotally happening was actually borne out by the evidence. And then this last year, in 18-19, we saw a 7% increase above that prior increase.
All right, so the big increase then was the year before last.
That's correct.
But that is a big increase. I mean, 77% is not overblowing it, I think, to say that's nearly a doubling of the activity you saw in the 16-17 academic year.
That's right. That's right. And then it's important to remember that in anything where we're depending upon the public to report these figures, there's always the concern about underreporting. In cases like this, we're talking about people who will see a flyer. They'll just simply not think anything of it. They'll walk past it. They may notice it. They may not understand that there are white supremacist lines, messaging, symbols that are being used. So they may not recognize it as such. And then there are also some people who actually are intimidated, or who mistakenly think that this is an issue of free speech, and they can't say or do anything about it. Even if it is a legal activity, there are still ways to report this, and it's important for organizations like the ADL to track this kind of a trend.
Let's unpack that aspect of legal activity then, because I was thinking that some people might want to call the police and they might receive a notification like, hey, look, there's some free speech laws here. Mm-hmm. So what, where does it cross the line from legal into illegal, and what are the appropriate avenues of approach in letting somebody know about it?
Well, I mean, obviously, if it's illegal only if it involves criminal activity. So it's possible that in the case of propagandizing, this could be an act of vandalism. So certainly if somebody's defacing a wall with paint to put up their swastika, then that's a criminal act. And that also involves an expression of hatred, and so most likely, and so therefore, would cross the line into illegal activity. But many of these things are, they don't go that far. Posting up a flyer on a college campus is not illegal. It may violate the campus rules and regulations about getting proper approval or the placement of that, but it's not going to cross the line into illegal activity. But what we've also seen is that there are some correlations between people's attitudes, incidents, which again may be legal expressions, and then spilling over into eventually illegal activity. Not everybody that expresses a hateful view or an abhorrent view or a racist, a bigoted view is going to necessarily follow that up with action, let alone illegal action. But it is important to track because these things can be related.
We are talking to Seth Bryce, who is the Central Pacific Regional Director for the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, about recruiting for white supremacists on college campuses. You can join the discussion on the Jefferson Exchange. Perhaps you've seen something like this in your community. We'd like to hear about it. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. In terms of reaching out, if it's not illegal, but it does concern somebody, they can certainly get a hold of the ADL. Do you share with other groups that have similar concerns?
Well, we certainly, I mean, as you noted, we've published these results in various reports, breaking down the activity of these extremist groups. So we do annual reports that look at things like anti-Semitic attitudes, which, again, are perfectly legal. People are free in this country to hold bigoted, abhorrent views. We then also put out an annual audit of anti-Semitic incidents. So this looks at actions that were taken in the public sphere or directed at somebody individually that or an institution that are expressions of anti-Semitism. And then there are also the hate crime reports that are that augment that research that come from the FBI and from state governments as well. So we want to look at that whole landscape of expressions of hatred. From the way that people believe to the way that they express it to illegal activity.
Which is exactly what my next question was, which is when you look at the whole landscape of things, where do they seem to be headed? I mean, you could look at the figures on college campuses and go, wow, that's a big increase in the 17-18 school year, and then another further small increase the year after that. But I mean, in general, of all the areas that you track at ADL, is there cause for concern?
Well, there is. We've seen sharp increases in anti-Semitic incidents that take place. That's happened over the last several years, year upon year. In fact, last year that we measured, it was the third highest year on record in terms of numbers of anti-Semitic incidents nationwide. And those numbers tend to correlate to local regions. So, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, you know, maybe that's happening somewhere else. They'll think it's a facet of a certain geographic segment of the country or places where people live. No, these things tend to play out across the country, across regions. So we've seen that increase in terms of the numbers of incidents. The FBI data shows that there's been increases, a 17% increase in the last year that we have available in the numbers of hate crimes. And again, in particular, they break that out for certain religious groups. Once again, sadly, the Jewish community is the most targeted among all religious groups, in fact, more targeted than all other religious groups combined. So we are seeing increases, and these are trends that we've measured over the last several years, dating back to 2016, where there's been these sharp increases. And then if you really dive a little bit deeper into the data, what you'll see is there are some spikes that occur in and around certain incidents, certain current events that occur. Sometimes it's tied to elections. Sometimes it's in the aftermath of horrific events like the massacre at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. So we see people who are emboldened further by rhetoric or even by criminal activity.
When you talked about last year being the third highest year on record, I wonder if the other 2 years were recent as well or if those are much farther back in time.
No, so the second highest was the year before that. So we have seen these sharp increases in the numbers of anti-Semitic incidents that are taking place. And this dates back to the 1970s when we first started tracking these in our audit.
So, Seth, when you talk about recruiting on campus, how broad the range of activities from, say, you know, tables in the student union, face-to-face meetings, to posters quietly taped to poles, for example?
So it really is much more of a stealth activity, I would say. It's not these are groups that are not going to be overt about who they are in for the most part. There are some who will display, as I said, swastikas, or they'll come out with blatantly racist, anti-Semitic, bigoted kinds of messaging. But for the most part, they're really looking to sort of hide who they are in an initial encounter. So they couch what they're trying to do in patriotic terms, invoking American ideals. So they'll talk about things like freedom of speech or freedom of the press. They will try to invoke legitimate issues of debate. So they'll talk about the immigration concerns. and what to do about immigration and how America should deal with immigration. So they'll start with that, or other positive messaging about American families and American values. And that's sort of the hook to get somebody in to go to their website to start to get some of the propaganda, and then really be drawn into the movement further.
White supremacist recruiting on college campuses, the topic here of the Jefferson Exchange. Not a happy one, perhaps, but one we do need to talk about. And you're welcome to talk about it with us. I'm talking to Seth Breisk, who is the regional director for the Central Pacific region of the Anti-Defamation League, ADL. He's based in San Francisco. His region covers Northern California, Utah, and Hawaii. But we are talking about national numbers that show a 77% increase from the 16-17 academic year to the 17-18 academic year, and a 7% increase in the academic year just finished. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. More numbers, 800-838-3760, to join by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. About that increase just being 7% in the 18-19 year, I realize that can sound pretty stupid. Is there any comfort in it being under 10%? But, particularly when you compare it to the fact that it's still an increase over a huge increase the year before.
Well, it's not so comforting, in part because if you break down the numbers a little further and you look at the spring semester, there were over 160 incidents that took place. So, in other words, the bulk of the incidents took place in the latter part of the school's year. That doesn't bode well for what we're going to see coming up in the fall. In addition, we've seen one of the things that's happened, there are a lot of reasons why we're seeing these types of trends. We sort of alluded to the notion that there was the rhetoric in the presidential campaign in 2016, a coarsening of the civil discourse, incivil discourse, really, making it more palatable, more acceptable for people to voice things that otherwise might have not been accepted in polite company or even in politics. So there's that, but there's also other things that are going on. We also have, obviously, the role of the internet and social media. And so when you have these types of campaigns are in many ways being furthered by, posting on social media platforms where groups will show, look at what we've done, look at where we've posted this, look at where we've hung our banner, look at the flyers that we've been able to put out, the cards that we've inserted in books in the library, the stickers we've placed in different locations. These tend to make up the bulk of the activity of the recruitment. And so one instance emboldens somebody else to do another. And then you can also do things like share that information. You can share those, they share the design of those flyers, those stickers, those instruments of propaganda so that other people won't have to create it for themselves. And that makes it much easier for them to do that. So we do anticipate that the trend is it's gone up. It's gone up year upon year, but it's also gone up even when you break it down further in the most recent period.
Now, I notice, Seth, that the activity is reported in 33 states in this report about white supremacist recruiting on college campuses. Is it scattered around the country fairly evenly, or are there some regions where there's just less activity?
Well, there's more activity. There are different factors that lead to more activity. And again, we also have to temper this by saying that this is dependent upon the reporting that we've seen either from, when it comes to college campuses, university officials, students, members of the public, and the media. So there are California leads the nation. Part of that is that there are more people here. There is more of that type of activity going on. Some of it is tied to where there may be certain leaders in white supremacist movements who are more active. So that's why you see certain states like Kentucky, Oklahoma, Utah having higher numbers. But we've seen it in Oregon as well. We've seen it across Northern California, all across the area where your listeners are situated. And it's many of these lower key things, but there are, I'm sure your listeners will recall, there are other instances where you've had white supremacists who have gone, driving around a vehicle with white supremacist symbols or slogans that are emblazoned on the side, going to college campuses. Again, either to provoke or to inspire people who either are the targets of their hate or they're hoping to recruit to their cause of hate.
I was going to ask you about the provocation part of this, but I do want to ask about the who first. I mean, do we really know who's, is it often some of the same groups? Is it often individuals who would like to be parts of groups and really aren't? What are you gathering there?
Well, these are, you know, the two most active groups are ones that are, that came out of the alt-right movement. You know, this was an attempt to sort of sanitize white supremacy. They go against many of what we've come to expect of the types of behaviors that we've seen from white supremacist groups. So, for instance, these groups will either require or they will largely avoid that their members display white supremacist symbols in the form of tattoos. They won't ask them to wear uniforms. You know, people will think about neo-Nazis who wear military-style uniforms or Ku Klux Klan members who wear their robes. These groups want to dress literally in the clothing of legitimacy. So they'll wear suits, three-piece suits. They'll wear polo shirts and khakis, as you may recall if you think back to some of the video footage of the protests in Charlottesville. So they are trying to normalize their hatred, and that was also the idea behind coining the term alt-right. But make no mistake, these are indeed white supremacists. And so, again, they've chosen names that invoke patriotism, that invoke America, American ideals, for their groups. And they are the ones who are largely behind this. And, again, their name is sometimes all that they're putting out there, just to pique the curiosity of somebody to go to their website, to go to seek them out online or in social media. And then be able to ingest some of their hateful propaganda.
All right. So to the other question then, Seth, is it bona fide recruiting or is some of it meant as trolling? Or I imagine it's okay with people if they get both effects.
I think it's exactly. I think it's both effects. You see that reflected in the social media posts after these incidents. They revel in the notion that people get upset, that their ideas are being challenged. Again, they will invoke inaccurately notions of free speech, that their speech is being quashed. You know, if a university has a policy about where and when flyers can be posted, or you know, that's perfectly time, place, and manner, can be a restriction on speech in this country. That's been tested at the Supreme Court. So for someone to say, oh, you know, they took down my flyer and they're violating my free speech, and you see they're afraid of my ideas because it's and that's why they're violating my free speech. No, in fact, you violated time, place, and manner restrictions that were put in place that apply to all groups, and this is a provocation, not only for the people who are the targets, but also, again, it gives them a pretext for being able to say to folks, look, if you're on the side of free speech, you want to be with us, and you want to, and then try to sell them on their more hateful propaganda.
Seth Breisk, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Regional Director for the Central Pacific Region of ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. We're talking about white supremacist recruiters on college campuses. 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org if you'd like to take part. And Livia and Ashland would like to take part. Welcome to the Exchange.
Good morning. I've just returned from a trip that included Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. And in Lithuania, going through Old Town, seeing where the Jews were, where they lived, then after they were put into the ghettos and then either exterminated or sent to Russia to work in Siberia, we don't know enough in this country about what happened. The fact that there are still people who have not been educated in what happened in the Holocaust and where white supremacy can lead. I recently produced Good German, and 2 years ago, Judgment at Nuremberg, and we had people out front handing out flyers that basically said the Holocaust didn't happen. And it is appalling to me that it's not taught and that we don't see the damage from something that has that innocuous name of white supremacy. So I just, it just brought up so much stuff from what I saw over there and the fear that I have that we're getting closer and closer to something like that here. I just wanted to make that comment.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Olivia. Appreciate it. So thoughts,
Jeff,
from you?
If I could just jump in, you don't have to go to Eastern Europe to find that kind of denial and that kind of ignorance on display. just a few weeks ago in Oregon, there was a bill being discussed about the teaching of the Holocaust in schools and in institutions. And during the public comment, there were a number of people. This was clearly they had a, you know, sort of an organized effort, but there were a number of people who got up and spoke and talked about how, in essence, the Holocaust hadn't happened. So it's happening today, and it's happening right here in our own communities.
I read about that, and I still wonder what people purport to take as evidence of something that didn't happen.
Well, there are a number of people who have made careers out of trying to sell the public on the lie that the Holocaust didn't happen, or it didn't happen as it was alleged, or all sorts of other conspiracy theories. In fact, there's a very famous case about a British historian who was a denier of the Holocaust and was labeled as such by a Holocaust scholar. And then he went in his own country in England, where there are much easier libel laws to sue, and went and sued her, and he lost. Hmm. So there, people who make a career, and again, this is part and parcel of justifying some of the hatred and the bigotry that they hold, not only against Jews, but against everyone.
So let's talk about what then, if people are concerned on college campuses in particular, that is the focus of this segment, if there does appear to be recruiting going on or in the community, is there a playbook for how you would like to see the activity addressed either by institutions or individuals?
Well, certainly, first and foremost, it's important to document the information. It's important to report it. Again, it may not be an illegal activity, but it's important that law enforcement are aware of this. It can sometimes be a harbinger for other illegal activity that may come. It's important for people to share that information with organizations like the ADL. If you go to ADL.org, there's an online portal to report these kinds of incidents. You can even upload screenshots or pictures that you've taken of vandalism or of propagandizing that's taking place. And it's important for us to track and be able to put this information out in the public sphere. Light is a great disinfectant, and that's exactly what we're trying to do here, is expose these hate groups for who they are and what they are and what they're trying to do.
And one final pass at the numbers. The increase between the 16-17 and 17-18 academic years was 77%. Between 17-18 and 18-19, 7%, which is not as much, granted, but it's still an upswing overall. Seth Bryce, Regional Director for the Anti-Defamation League, ADL, thank you so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.